Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Salaire Report. It is a privilege to bring back somebody who's been on the Salaire Report several times, and our co-author, Tom Cowan, was just on in June to talk about germ theory. It is Sally Fallon Morrell, who runs the and is the founding president and founder of the Weston Price Foundation, a group that many of you I know are members of. If you're not a member, you need to become one. She's also editor of the foundation's quarterly magazine. Weston Price has incredible reach. If you go to Sally's website, they'll say they've changed the conversation about what constitutes a healthy diet, and that's an understatement. She's also founded a campaign for raw milk, and it's amazing how many more sources of raw milk they are since she started in 1998. I don't know if you know this, Sally. I first heard you because somebody sent me a speech you gave about raw milk and the economics of farming that was sensational. And I said, who is this woman?
Well, I reference you in that talk. Yes.
Oh, I didn't remember that. But, you know, I live next to a dairy farm that should be operating, and it was literally put out of business by, you know, politics and regulation, not economics. Yes. And you described it beautifully. Anyway, Sally is also the president and owner of New Trends Publishing, which publishes many, many wonderful books, including her very famous Nurturing Traditions. It was funny. I'm Sally, you may not know this. I'm in the Netherlands right now.
Oh, you are.
And I got so tired of not having my Nurturing Traditions. Oh. I bought a European copy. So Salaire Europe now owns Nurturing Traditions and then your book on broth, which I can't, you know, I can't be without the broth.
Yeah, well, so that's broth is the new juice, as we say.
Right. Luckily, we have some great raw milk sources around where I am, so we're doing good. But anyway, but check out Sally's books. Her latest one, which I haven't had a chance to read, is Nourishing Fats, Why We Need Animal Fats for Health and Happiness. And of course, Sally was the one who tried to explain to us that low carbohydrate diets don't, you know, they don't work, which they really don't. Anyway, so Sally has co-authored a new book called The Contagion Myth with Dr. Thomas Cowan. And he, as I said, he was on in June to talk about the germ theory. And this book is absolutely marvelous. So I'll tell you more about it after we begin. So Sally Fallon Morrell, thank you for everything you're doing and welcome to the Salaire Report.
I feel very privileged to be on your show.
Well, every time I see what you've accomplished, you know, over the last year since I checked late, I go, how does she do it?
Well, you know, this book was talk about rapid. I think we got the idea for it in about April.
Wow.
And Tom, the backstory is Tom did this like 10-minute video that went viral online about virus and how it's not a virus and they've never isolated this virus. And then I had written a blog called Is Coronavirus Contagious? And that went viral. And so he emailed me and he said, you know, I think we're going to have to do a book on this. And I emailed back and said, well, I'm interested. And that was it. And I think we were very fortunate to get our publisher, Skyhorse.
Uh-huh.
They did a wonderful job editing, and their claim to fame is being able to get books out quickly. Because any other publisher, we would have had to wait 6 months. And this book is so timely and so needed. Because everything that we're doing about this so-called virus is wrong. And it's not going to work.
Right. Right. And we're going to get to that. What could work?
Yes.
So you start off, there are three sections of the book. And I just have to give a little pitch for the contagion myth before we start. When I talk to people about COVID-19, and in fact, our recent wrap-up, which we'll send to the printer this month, was sort of the best of the pandemic. One of the sections, Sally, is pandemic heroes, of which both you and Tom Cowan are listed. But we felt a need to aggregate all the sources, and there's a list of all the Salaire reports that we've done, as well as the book reviews. And I find myself telling people, look, just listen to these 10 Salaire reports and read these 10 books and you'll have it. And the beauty of the contagion myth is now you can you know, I can basically say, don't read the 10 books, just read The Contagion, because it's a phenomenally integrating, and it's phenomenally integrating in a very wonderful way. In other words, it's not here's 5G and here's, you know, viruses and here's, I mean, yes, you have different sections that cover these things, but it comes together and you really feel like you're talking with people about the biophysics of life.
Well,
and that's what we need.
It gets down to that. And
right.
What, you know, how is the body constructed? And of course, we're making the argument that what this illness, and we're not minimizing the illness. We're not saying
right.
it's just a bad case of the flu. What
right.
we are
right.
saying is it's a kind of radiation poisoning. Largely due to the rollout of 5G, but overall, I think the upgrading of 4G and just the amount of electromagnetic frequencies that we're living in today, it's electrosmog, it's electropollution.
Well, if you look at the reports, you know, we have subscribers all over the Northern Hemisphere, and a lot of them, and they're constantly reporting things in about what's causing people to be sick. And there's unprecedented levels of sickness. I can't tell you, in the last 2 months, almost every subscriber I talked to is reporting just unprecedented levels of cancer. And so,
wow.
I refer to this as the great poisoning
mm-hmm.
because, and you cover this, we'll get to it, but basically you're combining significant amounts of toxicity from a variety of different sources. It's not
yes.
one thing. And you're combining it now with this electrosmog, and the combination is very devastating.
In fact, I mentioned this a couple times in the book. So you have these millimeter waves, it's basically microwaves that are in the 5G, also in airport scanners, by the way. And they are more toxic when there is a lot of particulate matter in the air.
Right.
How they bounce off these particles. So in other words, when there's a lot of smog, a lot of air pollution, the 5G is more toxic.
Right. Right. And I have subscribers who are constantly equating the levels of disease with the spraying that's going on overhead.
Yes, yes. The one thing we really didn't touch on was the chemtrails. I just thought, dismissed as complete nuts, you know. But
yeah. But you're very, you know, you have a lot on the different kinds of chemical.
Well, the two
toxicities.
The ones that we zero in on are the glyphosate, which is
right.
being sprayed on the crops. We're poisoning our world with this glyphosate, which isn't acutely toxic. You don't drop dead if you're exposed to glyphosate. But what glyphosate does is substitutes the glyphosate for glycine in your body, and glycine is an extremely important amino acid, and particularly for lung function. And this illness definitely impacts the lungs first and foremost.
Right.
I think I quoted one pathologist who said these people who have died, who we know have died of this disease, not people who tested positive or whatever, but
right.
really have died, you can't even recognize their lungs. The lungs have been so degenerated. They don't even look like lungs anymore. And you know, viruses don't do that kind of thing, even if there were some
right.
viruses.
Right. I think one of the things that was hard for me, and it took a lot of reading and research to grapple with, is how could the germ theory have gone on for so long?
I know.
And I have to compliment you on time. You're much more polite about it. You call it a mistake. I call it a moneymaker, because if you look at how often this has been used to, you know, protect the insurance companies from liability or make money in a variety, it's a complicated story. But if you go back through history.
Well, you know, the germ theory was promulgated by Louis Pasteur and his German counterpart, Robert Koch. And there was a tremendous amount of opposition to it in his day. Most scientists, they didn't know what was causing disease, but a lot of them talked about poor diet or poisons or what they call the miasma, which is swamp gases.
Right.
But Pasteur said, no, it's one a microbe per disease, and the microbe causes the disease. But we know from his private notes that he cheated.
Right.
You know, he could get these bacteria, and when he exposed an animal to the bacteria, the animal didn't get sick. So that disproved his disease, but what he did was create what he called virulent bacteria, which he did by adding a lot of poisons. And then when he gave that to the animals, often by drilling a hole in their skull and putting it into their brains, that made them sick. And that was how he proved the germ theory, quote unquote. And the germ theory went right into the vaccinations. I mean, they're tied together. A good example is the anthrax, which he actually never could find a real bacteria for the anthrax. But he kept saying there was one, and then he had this vaccine, and he made a lot of money on the vaccine.
Right.
But it never worked. It never worked. In fact, it actually killed a lot of sheep. But the germ theory and vaccinations are joined at the hip, really. And
right.
The only way that we're going to get rid of this practice of vaccinating is to show that it's just not based on sound science.
Right. Right. It's interesting. This week I read all of Forrest Moretti's books. I don't know if you read them, and it really helped me understand, because his book on polio, he goes through how all the liability on the DDT was basically sheltered by playing this game with the virus and the vaccine.
Exactly. It's a cover up. The bacteria or the virus is the fall guy for whatever is ailing people, and the doorway to making a lot of money on an antiviral, a vaccine, antibiotics, etc. When we have a disease, it's usually a sign that we either need to feed people better or clean something up. And, of course, modern medicine takes credit for the fact that we've cleaned up our water supply. We've definitely cleaned up our cities. We don't have horses in our cities anymore.
Right.
And, I mean, we can say a lot of bad things about our cities, and there's still a lot of types of air pollution there, but they are a lot cleaner than they used to be.
Absolutely. So my favorite chapter, your first section was on germ theory, and my favorite chapter was resonance, because...
Oh, isn't that a beautiful chapter, yeah.
It's a beautiful chapter, and it's a chapter about something, if you want to understand the world or be healthy, this is something you must understand. And both you and Tom are so sensible and grounded that you can communicate this. So maybe if you could just say a few words about resonance and why you added that chapter.
Well, actually, Tom wrote this chapter, but It's about an experiment that was done by a virologist, a conventional virologist who would not agree with us that there's no such thing as a virus. But he did this fascinating study where he had two beakers of water, far apart from each other. And in one beaker, he put just some amino acids, just some genetic material. And in the other beaker, he put fully formed DNA. And over time, and there was no connection except, you know, the surrounding air between these two. Over time, the genetic material configured itself into the exact replica of the fully configured DNA in the other beaker.
Wow.
And that's what he calls resonance. And it is a very good explanation for how things change, how we adjust, how we, how our bodies learn to cope with toxins. And the perfect example is the electricity. Now, we talk a lot about 1918 and the Spanish flu being caused by worldwide radio being rolled out.
Right.
And people were really sick. They tried to prove that it was contagious. They never could. But most of us have no problem with radio today, right?
Right.
There are a few people who can't be where we have normal radio waves. So our bodies, it was a big shock to our bodies all over the world, but we have adjusted. Radio, and we've done this by this concept of resonance. Now, can we adjust to 5G? That's the big question. We don't know.
Right. Well, you hear these dire predictions, but, you know, again, you know, throughout history, we have found a way of adjusting at great expense. Not everybody makes it.
Not everybody makes it. And I'm doubtful that we could actually adjust to 5G. It's just too invasive and, right, and too toxic for our cells. But there's a lot of things you can do. And we do talk about this, how you can minimize your exposure, especially when you're asleep at night. I do think, Catherine, that we're going to see the abandonment of our cities.
Yes.
Or they just, people won't be able to survive in them because of all the 5G that's been put in the downtown areas.
Well, certainly people are rushing out right now.
They are. I mean, rural real estate is just booming. And a lot of empty properties in New York City.
The greatest stress that I hear about in our networks are real estate brokers in the rural areas who are working 14 and 16 hour days.
Yeah, but they're making money. So.
Right. No, they're not complaining, but they're just saying you just wouldn't believe. You know, and part of it, I remember I used to work in restaurants, both as a maitre d' and waitress and bartender. And when people are really hungry and they have to wait, they get very intense.
Yes.
And
yes,
you get the sense when you talk to these brokers that they're dealing with people who literally feel they're running for their lives.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I think so. And I don't know how widespread this idea is that this is actually being caused by 5G and EMF in general. But I think already there's a kind of a murmuring about this.
Right. So part two, the thing I loved about part one on germ theory was, instead of having to now tell people to read 10 books, I can have them just read the contagion myth.
Okay.
Part two, what causes disease, you go into the real causes of disease. And this section, it's four chapters. This section is absolutely wonderful because it regrounds everybody in, okay, what is the basis of life and health? And, you know, it immediately leads you into how you're going to be healthy under any circumstances, including sort of what John Rappaport calls dead epidemics. So let's just start in with water. So you have water, food, toxins, mind, body, and the role of fear. So you have a lot in the book on water. And of course, Tom just wrote a book on water, which is outstanding. So,
yeah. Now, so he always gives this example. Our bodies are 70 to 80% water, but if you cut yourself, water doesn't come out of your body.
Right.
That's because the water in your body is structured. It's more like a gel. It's what we call the fourth state of water. And it structures itself against the various membranes, such as your cell membranes in your body, often just 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 atoms deep. And those atoms form a kind of crystal, really, that act as an electric wire. So when I think of the cell, I think of this kind of network of wires in your cell, and that's all of the little streams of water structured against the various membranes in the cell, including the mitochondrial membranes. So how do we insulate these wires against all this EMF coming in, and how do we keep it from disrupting what needs to go on in our cells? And I zero in on the saturated fats, because it's the saturated fat that help us have these really strong, robust cell membranes, that it's sort of like having insulation on your wires. And and there's actually another gal out there who's saying, you know, the root cause of this is the industrially processed seed oils, vegetable oils, which play havoc with our cell membranes. They make the cell membranes floppy and leaky.
Right.
And not hold a good charge. Your wiring gets frayed, so to speak, in your cells. So once you understand how the water works in your cells and how the fats you eat affects that, there's your first step for protection against all this. And that is a diet that is based on saturated fats.
The you have a great appendix with some tips on water.
Yes.
And
yes.
I should mention that too, because that was really a treat. I've underlined all of that and pulled it out.
Yeah, you want highly oxygenated water.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a big challenge to get that to everybody in the world. One thing I'd like just like to go back and say, one of the things we discovered when doing the research on this book, we talked to Jerry Pollack, who's the water man. He's the one who wrote The Fourth Phase of Water. And he said they've been doing studies. They set up a tank of water, and they can see how the water structures itself against a hydrophilic surface, and it creates this what they call an exclusion zone that's highly charged, negatively charged. It's like a wire, basically. And when they introduce or subject it to a Wi-Fi router, put a Wi-Fi router next to the tank of water, the zone of structured water shrinks by about 15%. So we know that this kind of radiation definitely affects the structure of the water in your cells. There's no question.
Right. So let's turn to food. And first, what I'd like to ask is, if somebody isn't familiar with the Weston Price Foundation and wants to understand, because you have revolutionized our thinking about food. You certainly, you know, you've changed my diet. You've changed the diet of almost everybody I know who has discovered the Weston Price Foundation. So if I was going to go to one place to learn the overview of the Weston Price view of food and your teaching, where would I go? How would I get that?
I think the best place to start is our little informational brochure. It's about 24 pages long that is published by the Weston A. Price Foundation. We're getting close to a million of these. When you become a member, you get one free. And also, if you just call and say, send me an info pack, we'll send you one. And we have tried to summarize all of the principles discovered by Dr. Price and also formulated by ourselves. And lo and behold, we can show that many of these principles are going to leave you more protected against EMF. And one of those, of course, is the saturated fats, the traditional fats and oils. That would be butter, lard, tallow, coconut oil, etc.
Right.
All the fats we're told not to eat are the very ones that we need to have good, robust electrical integrity in our cells. Secondly is the broth.
Right.
And you know about the broth, and the broth has a lot of glycine in it, which is really a good protection against glyphosate. And the glycine is important for having all of these structures in the cells.
Right. And I just have to put in a plug for Nourishing Traditions and then the Nourishing Traditions on Broth, because those are great cookbooks. And it's by reading the recipes and seeing how you bring it down to day-to-day diet that you really understand how it all works. So I have to...
Well, another big subject for us is salt.
Right.
Unrefined salt, but you can have as much salt as you want. Everybody's requirement of salt, the requirements for salt do vary, and your taste buds will tell you how much salt you need. You don't need to deprive yourself of salt. And salt is critical for maintaining a different electric potential inside and outside of the cell. So again, we have people, on low salt diets, low fat diets, or eating a lot of polyunsaturated fats, not getting the real bone broth that we recommend, and they're going to be much more vulnerable.
Right. Now, another thing you mentioned is niacin. Maybe if you could say a few words about that.
Yes. So now Tom understands this better than me, but the niacin is very much affected by electromagnetic radiation, the cellular forms of niacin. So you need those B vitamins also in your diet. And we get those from properly prepared grains, from meats, from organ meats, from fermented foods.
Great. So the next chapter is on toxins, and I don't think we need to spend any time here because I'm constantly, if you listen to the Slayer Report, you hear something telling you to detox literally every week.
Well, it's one thing to detox, but it's another not to, to get the toxins in the first place.
And I do,
you know, eat organic, so you're not getting the glyphosate. And the number one source of glyphosate in our diet is wheat. Because this is a desiccant, desiccating spray. You know, it's a question of being reasonable and not eating a lot of junk that has a lot of toxins in it and doing your best to avoid exposure to toxins.
One of the fascinating things you had, which I hadn't, I don't think I'd read it before, was on the work on biofuels.
Yes, that was fascinating. So that's the work done by Stephanie Senoff.
And she always comes up with the most amazing things.
I know. And she, so these biofuels, of course, they're made with the cheapest grains and they are loaded with glyphosate, Roundup. And she shows that they are particularly this harmful to the lungs, and especially when combined with the actual fuel. So, she does a wonderful job correlating the outbreaks of this disease with the use of biofuels. And large cities that have 5G but are not using biofuels, I think she talks about Taiwan, for example.
That was amazing because I've always wondered what Taiwan did that has protected them. Okay, last chapter in What Causes Disease, Mind, Body, and the Role of Fear, I thought was fantastic, particularly when you connected up with what you wrote about resonance. So
yes. So what is contagious, you know? And our emotions are contagious. Our emotions affect our DNA, and through this concept of resonance, it can be contagious to other people. So what are we seeing now? This great buildup of fear, and this terrible virus is going to attack out of nowhere. And you know what they're doing right now is saying that asymptomatic children are extremely dangerous, and it's you know, we've turned children into the culprits. Innocent children. And so you can't hug your neighbor, you can't get close, you have to wear a mask. And so basically we've made everyone the enemy.
And so one of the things I was wondering as I read your discussion of sort of cell phone pollution.
Yeah.
Does social distancing have anything on the rollout of 5G to basically keep everybody's smartphone away from each other?
Well,
so that you don't get these wild...
Well, we talk about how a lot of people being together can cause an outbreak of disease that will seem like contagion because they're all using their cell phones.
Exactly.
And we give the example of the choir practice where everybody has a cell phone in their pocket or in their purse under their chair. They're all very close together. Which is kind of an unusual circumstance for cell phones. Nobody's got their cell phones on airplane mode, and there is a cell tower in the steeple of the church.
Oy.
And this is a recipe for the vulnerable, the electromagnetically sensitive people, to get sick, and it will be called called contagion. The other one, two other things, places I'm really concerned about. One is schools. I mean, while we've had this lockdown, they have been installing 5G inside high schools, inside universities. And the experts, quote unquote, are absolutely right to predict another wave of disease when school starts if the students are actually in school.
Right.
Being exposed to this. And then finally, the sports stadiums, because they're rolling out 5G in the football stadiums. And again, you have 50,000 people all packed together, all with their cell phones, and you're bombarding them with 5G. I hope they'll have a lot of ambulances right outside, because people are going to have heart attacks. They're going to be unable to breathe. It's just a nightmare.
So J.P. Hanley, one of my favorite series on the COVID-19 has been J.B. Hanley's Lockdown Lunacy.
Yes.
And he had Lockdown Lunacy, then he had Lockdown Lunacy 2.0, and he just published Lockdown Lunacy 3.0. And one of the things he points out in 3.0 is that he describes a poll where the Americans polled said, when asked to estimate what percentage of the population had died from COVID-19, said 9%, which is 30 million people. And then he describes the fear in the millennials, who apparently is the generation who's most afraid of COVID-19.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he describes these two polls, and what you realize is the fear is really contagious and so disproportionate to the facts.
And it's contagious because we know that emotions affect our DNA. They affect the structure of the DNA, and then that DNA communicates with the other DNA in the body and in other people through this concept of resonance. So fear can be quite contagious. Yes.
So not for discussion here, but I have one of my favorite Salieri reports is an interview I did with Adam Trombley on entrainment technology and subliminal programming, which I think digital systems, you know, it can be used. I ran into it as an investment advisor because literally our clients were being manipulated. Sometimes people use this technology to sell investments.
Yes.
So I got Adam to come on, but sometimes I watch some of the, you know, the Antifa people or BLM, and I think, uh-oh, I don't know. There's a perfectly dreadful movie called The Kingsman, which I'm sure you've never seen.
No.
But it has a church scene where, you know, everybody has their cell phone and they turn on the entrainment subliminal programming and off they go.
I mean, and anything's possible. By the way, I find it tragic how this outbreak, this is what they call disease, is actually being used against people of color and African Americans. You know, they're going to get the vaccine first, right? Because they're vulnerable. They're the ones who have been most negatively impacted by the lockdown. They're the ones who lost their jobs and have the least support, financial support and so forth. I just hope that these communities can wake up to what is actually going on.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. I used to belong to a Christian church. I studied at a Bible Institute at Christian Church in Washington, a wonderful church. And they were exceptionally knowledgeable about all these things, about the risks from, you know, toxicity from vaccines or different things. But it's a certain portion of the Christian community that has that technology. It's not everybody. I just wanted to bring up, you know, for 10 years, I was an investment advisor helping individuals and families. And one of the reasons I so like part two, What Causes Disease, Sally, I would get so impossibly frustrated because if you looked at a family, you know, two parents and three kids and then some grandparents, you know, and you said, okay, how are we going to build family wealth over the next 50 years?
Yes.
What you suddenly realized was it was much more important what food you ate and how you avoided these toxins or stayed out of fear than what stocks you had in your portfolio.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. And part of it is just longevity. I mean, you don't have a lot of wealth when you're young, unless you've inherited it, but you build wealth as you live. And especially if you've been healthy and have not had a lot of medical expenses, over time, that's how you build wealth.
Right. And it's, I became very frustrated trying to help people rethink their strategy for preserving or building wealth and looking at it in terms of integrated risk. You know, I keep coming back to this word integrated because that's what I love about the contagion myth. It's very integrating. And if you read this part two on what causes disease and really start to rethink your family strategy, you have a much better chance of avoiding the risks because healthcare, problems is what's devastating family wealth in America.
Yes, it absolutely is. And starting with the children.
Right.
Again, I think it's extremely important for families to make the sleeping areas safe. There shouldn't be any computers, cell phones, anything in the sleeping areas. No alarm, no electric alarm clocks by your bed. And if possible, and it's not hard to do this, have a switch where you can actually turn off the electricity going through the wires in the bedroom.
That's a great idea.
When you sleep. And it's not hard. There's a company that has these switches that are easy to install. And then you can get a meter and see how your sleeping area is. And that should be, the meter should be on green for you and your children. And even if you are in front of the computer all day and highly exposed, at least at night your body can recover and heal. And by the way, we should all have wired computers.
Absolutely.
Even if it's Wi-Fi coming into your house, you can still put your computer in a wire.
Right.
And then
there's
the settings on your computer. You need to turn off all the Wi-Fi and Bluetooth and all those settings.
Right, absolutely.
And you can have a computer that's perfectly safe, not emitting anything. So there are things that you can do. And I said, as I said, just as we had to have 200 years of cleaning up our cities, we now have to have a cleanup campaign. We need to learn to clean up this electrosmog, this is basically electromagnetic filth, right?
Well, what's so frightening to me is if you look at what's happened legally since the 1996 Telecommunications Act.
Yes.
We've basically taken the position as a matter of law and regulation that certain private industries are free to totally destroy and pollute energetic space.
Yes, yes.
You know, we have an energetic body. They can destroy it. With us having no rights to protect the sovereignty of our electromagnetic health and space.
Well, I think even worse, they've taken money that was earmarked for getting everything wired,
right?
Getting Fios or fiber optics in every business, every house, and they've taken that money basically very illegally and used it to put in the 5G and the Wi-Fi.
Right.
And we need to. There needs to be consequences to this.
Right. It needs to be reversed. Starting with, I tell everybody, if you sit down next to one of these executives at the dinner table, just tell them you want nothing to do with them, get up and walk away. I'm a great believer in shunning.
I think these people are kind of trapped and many of them just don't realize what they're doing. It's same in the business of virology.
Right.
I think most of these people don't realize that they're not proving what they say they're proving because of the way they do things. So, and same with telecommunications. They've all said, well, we can't afford to have wired technology. It's very expensive. But if they're not taking the money for wired and putting it into wireless, that would be that would not be affordable either. So
here's the thing. There's 21, I won't bore you with the details, but there's $21 trillion missing from U.S. government accounts. I assure you, if we wanted to have, it's not that much more expensive to have healthy technology.
It's not.
So,
just like everything else, we have sewers today. We make sure that the water is least clean from, manure and sewage.
Right.
I don't like the way other things are doing with our water, but we recognize it's absolutely essential to do that.
Right.
And then we need to have the same recognition for the wireless.
Okay. So the third part is choices, where you talk about questioning COVID. Everyone in the Slurry Report questions COVID. I think my question I wanted to ask you is, you do a good job of sort of decimating the tests. Why in the world does anybody get tested?
Yeah, these tests are testing. They were designed to test genetic material. They were not designed to diagnose disease or to pinpoint the existence of viruses or bacteria. And they're also... you know, you can set the way you run the test to get all positives or all negatives. It's absolute disaster about these tests. Plus, the way they're done is very invasive and painful and dangerous. They poke that swab way back right to the membrane that separates your nasal passages from your brain. And in fact, there was a baby who died recently, started bleeding and never recovered from one of these tests. You know, why can't they just take a swab of your nose? There's something very strange about the way they're doing these tests. Then you're on a national database, and by the way, then they have your DNA, and they can use that to say, well, you've got COVID and you need to go into a nursing home, or you have to stay home and quarantine. And the tests are just completely meaningless.
Right. I love it. You mentioned the president of Tanzania who...
Yeah. He sent in some jackfruit and goat meat. And how did they test? Well, some tested positive and some tested negative. I mean, the testing is the first thing that we really need to go after. That's the low-hanging fruit, because this test is not... it's not a proper test. They need to be diagnosing on symptoms. You know, what kind of sickness do you have? Yeah.
So on the Solari report, our issue is nobody's going to take the vaccine. The question is, how do we stop the mandates or all the sort of sneaky things of, you know, you can't transact unless you have a vaccine. You can't travel unless you have the vaccine, et cetera, et cetera. And I believe there's not going to be one. I think they're, you know, Moderna calls their vaccine, quote unquote, this is from their press release, the software of life. So I think, you know, they're going to play the same game they played with computers, which is, you know, you got to get a new one every quarter or every year.
Oh, yes. They're actually saying you'll need a booster every year. These vaccines are a completely new type of vaccine. They're genetic material that's, the vaccines have three needles that, two of which give a little electric charge so that the genetic material, so that your cell membranes are relaxed and opened up and the genetic material can go into your cells. You know, that doesn't sound like a very good idea to me. The hope, Catherine, is that enough people will say no, and it looks like half the people say they'll say no, that they'll realize, all the companies that are saying, oh, you can't travel or you can't do this, or you can't do that unless you have a vaccine, they'll realize that they'll just go out of business because there won't be enough people to travel or to use their business or whatever. But it's got to be a very large portion of the population that just says, hey, we're not doing this.
It was remarkable. I don't know if you saw the video excerpts from the meeting in Switzerland in December. The global vaccine programs came together because they're getting so much pushback.
Yeah, well, I know that they've had a lot of meetings about what to do about what they call vaccine hesitancy or vaccine refusal.
Right. So Dr. Heidi Larson from London is the anthropologist who funded by the Gates Foundation, who did a very detailed study of vaccine hesitancy. And what she discovered is that the practitioners in the different countries responding to the parents want scientific evidence that vaccines are safe and effective, and also that all of them together in one little body as a cocktail are also safe and effective, and there's no science supporting any of those.
Yes, that's right. That's right. And especially when they give two or three vaccinations, sometimes eight vaccinations at a time, to children, to babies.
Well, you almost wondered if they remembered that they were being filmed.
Because, really?
Because you realize, okay, you know, 30% of the practitioners and parents are insisting on some science to prove it safe and effective, and you've been doing this all along and you don't have any such science. What's your problem?
Yeah, you've got a huge problem.
Yeah.
The only way you can do this is to have control over the media, control over the internet, and just put out constant propaganda. And of course, that's what you see every time you turn on the news, the fake news. We've got to have the vaccine. We can go back to normal when we have the vaccine. And we're, you know, rushing this vaccine so everybody can be safe again.
Well, I think we're looking at information warfare, and I think I think we just saw the New York Times publish a big article about the tests are not reliable, and then the CDC revised their death statistics.
Yeah, and saw that, yeah. Yeah.
I'll give you a prediction. I think the reason that is so, if you look at our hero page, you and Tom and so many people who've been, you know, it's doctors, it's scientists, it's nutritionists, it's lawyers, it's government, you know, it's many different kinds of people from all around the world, but they're all based in fact and science, and they're all committed to sort of human civilization one way or another.
Yeah, to the advancement of the human race. Yeah.
Right, and you cannot back them down because they have so much knowledge and experience and they're finding each other. And to me, there's this thing happening that is quite remarkable. People in different areas, you know, so the people in 5G, finding the people in vaccines, finding the people in food, finding the people in no water. And they're starting to put together something that's very, very positive and powerful. And I think the establishment is trying to regain the high ground by, you know, they've been outmatched in information and warfare, and they're trying to sort of grab it back.
Well, I describe myself as the eternal optimist, and the my office calls me the abominable yes monster. But I am a little concerned. I just hope that we're not getting into a trap. If everyone's saying, well, maybe this virus isn't so bad and the tests are wrong and et cetera, but then all of a sudden they turn on the 5G and a lot of people get sick, they'll be saying, see, we were right. This is a terrible virus. So we really have to recognize that this is not about a virus.
Right.
And just kind of shuffle that off, because otherwise we are going to, it's just going to keep going on.
Well, John, I was just in Basel for a workshop, and we brought John Rappaport in by Skype, and he had pre-recorded a presentation that was wonderful. But one of the things he did was, which I love, he just said, it is not one thing. It is not one thing. You know, get this into your spirit. It is not one thing. And my concern is they turn on 5G, but 5G is going to be interacting with the vaccines, with the pesticides, with all the different poisonings. And it's going to be complex. And but, you know, they'll make it simple and sell it as just one little virus.
Yes. Well, if the virus is the fall guy, and it's covering for the real causes. That's the same with anthrax. I just wrote a blog on this. That was a cover for the fact that the animals are being poisoned by arsenic.
Right.
The symptoms of anthrax and arsenic poisoning are identical. So it was a way of protecting the people who were making these toxic chemicals.
Right. Well, I've now lived through, there have been a series of, quote unquote, John calls them dud epidemics.
Yes, right.
Where there was clearly a political motive, and, you know, and once the political goal is accomplished, they suddenly disappear and the statistics change and you get these crazy patterns. But, I'm with you. I think we've only begun a process where, you know, this is far from over. And
It's a wake-up call, and it's I've often talked about what I call the natural selection of the wise. And the people who wake up, the people who ask questions, who are skeptical, who look into this and take the proper steps to protect themselves, they will survive. And the people who just believe everything they're told, they are not likely to survive. So let's just hope that we can wake up as many people as possible and have a, you know, I'm not a Luddite. I love computers and cell phones are great, but there are good and bad ways to use them. And we just need to be careful.
So as we proceed to navigate the next year and the rollout of 5G, if I join the Weston Price Foundation, which I should do, if you're listening to this and you're not a member of the Weston Price Foundation, you absolutely want to get on board. I've been a member, I don't know, I've been a member, I think, from almost when you started.
Oh, well, that's wonderful.
And, yeah. And you know, we now have Pete Kennedy doing our food series, and we're trying to do everything we can to support the Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund, which
wonderful.
You had a big hand in getting going. So, yeah, so we're all foodies. We love food. And I always tell people, you know, when they say, I can't find any smart, positive people in my area, I say, find the Weston Price chapter.
Yes, and you'll find your soulmates there.
Yes, yeah. Yes. So, but are you going to be helping your members navigate 5G? Because we need good information about what's working and what's not.
Yes, well, we already have had some articles on this. Our last journal was dedicated to this issue. But what I'm really excited about is our upcoming conference. Yes, we are having a live conference. Masks are completely optional.
Fabulous.
Plenty of hugs, no social distancing. It will be November 13th through 15th in Atlanta, Georgia. Mm-hmm. And we just have a star-studded cast, including Tom Cowan, but also Dell Bigtree. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is giving the keynote address. And we'll also have Andy Wakefield there, plus a number of speakers. We really are focusing on the 5G and the electrosmog.
Oh, fabulous.
At this conference. We have Beverly Rubick, for example, who's done a lot of research on how this affects the blood cells. So okay. I can't stress enough, this is the conference to come to, one, to just be with people, have good food, but also I think we'll have, I mean, this will be our focus at this conference.
Okay, so I confess I've never been to Weston Price Conference. But
must come.
Every year I have so many people, including subscribers, tell me it was one of the best conferences they've ever been to.
And that happens
it happens every year. So yeah. It's a, you know, it's always for the people who go, it's always an amazing experience. Not just what you learn, but the relationships and connections you make, you know, with kindred spirits.
And if, God forbid, they tell us you have to wear masks, we will cancel and everyone gets a full refund. But right now, the governor of Georgia says he's not going to enforce any mask mandates. And the hotel says we can, no masks. I mean, you can wear one if you want one, but this will be just a regular conference. Real people, you can see their faces.
Okay, well, Sally, as I said, you're in the hero category. You've been a celery hero several times. So,
thank you. Well, our website is westonaprice.org, and there's a link right to the conference there.
And the book. So, sign up for become a member. Sign up, get the journal. Sign up for the conference if you can go. And
we're going to start giving the book as a prize to people who, you know, donate a certain amount.
Fabulous.
I have details, but, and then my own blog, in which I'm actually continuing this subject, there's information that's not in the book that kind of follow on, and that's nourishingtraditions.com.
Okay. And the book will be available. Give me the date again.
Now they're saying September 27th. You can pre-order on Barnes & Noble and Amazon, either the hardback or the Kindle.
Great.
And pre-order is really good for our numbers. Just saying. And we really want to make a splash with this book. Hope that your listeners, if they know anyone in the government or of, you know, with influence, they get a book to them.
Absolutely. Sabotage the whole ridiculousness. Give everybody
the
contagion.
I like that word. Let's sabotage this whole plandemic, as it was called. Yeah.
Well, you know, I don't know if you know this, but I end every Celery Report, I'll just say it now, with a phrase that says, don't worry about whether there is a conspiracy. If you're not in one, you need to start one.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Sally, Fallon Morrell, you're doing great work. We love, if there's anything we can do to support you on the conference, the book, anything else, just let us know.
Oh, thanks. We'll send you an announcement on the conference, Catherine.
Fabulous.
It'd be great if you'd send that out. Yes.
Absolutely. We will send it out. Absolutely. You have a wonderful day and enjoy all the good health that you send to so many millions of people.
I hope so. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. Bye.